Thank you both for those readings. We're working our way through Mark's Gospel, so we're picking up where we left off. It was a fortnight ago, wasn't it? Last week we had, was it baptism or Thanksgiving? I can't remember now. I think so much has happened in the last week. It would have been inappropriate to have talked about John the Baptist being beheaded. So we skip that. If you're in the home groups, please do check the sermon online. You may find it helpful, hopefully, as you do the home group studies. But today we're on verse 30 of chapter 6. Of Mark's Gospel. And let's just pray as we begin. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this word. Lord, we pray that through your Spirit and by your Spirit, the written word may become alive in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So just to add a bit of context, at the beginning of Mark chapter 6, Jesus sends out his disciples. And really, the whole of Mark chapter 6 is about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. There's other levels and other meanings in there that we look at who Jesus is. Particularly in this passage, we look at the association between Jesus and Moses. But there's a common theme through Mark 6 about what it is to follow Jesus. So there at the beginning of the chapter, he sends the disciples out in pairs. And because they're sent by Jesus, and because God is at work through them, they see amazing things done. They preach boldly, and they see miracles take place. Can you imagine how exciting that is? So the disciples come back, and they want to tell Jesus all about it. And they want to tell each other all about it. Don't forget, they've gone out in twos. And so they want to tell the stories of what they've seen and what they've done. Meanwhile, Mark reminds us of this story of John the Baptist. They're actually having faith, and more to the point, living out of faith isn't always easy because there can be people who oppose you. I'm not for 1 minute suggesting you're going to have your head chopped off. But we do know that it's difficult quite often to be a person of faith in this country. Those of you in school will be well aware of that. Those of you, I guess, in work will also be aware of it, depending on where it is you work. If you work in a church, it tends to not be quite so difficult. In Britain, it seems that you can believe in anything you want, as long as you don't believe in something or someone. And once you start to believe in something or someone, then actually, you're a bigot or something like that. That's what people like to call us. For instance, people quite often say faith should end at the fingertips. But then those same people will complain when we don't live out the way that Christians should live it out, the way that Jesus taught us to live. Faith should end at the fingertips, but I saw the way you were living yesterday and the things that you did. Isn't it terrible? And people can be so hostile towards those of faith, and particularly those who live out their faith. And with all that in mind, then we kind of come on to this next passage, the passage for today, when the apostles return. They've been sent out. Previously, they were disciples who were followers. The apostles are those who are sent. It's the same people, but they've now been sent out. And they gather around Jesus. But as they gather around Jesus, other people come as well. Maybe it's people who they've been ministering to in the different towns and villages, who knows? But all these people start to come as well. And those apostles, those disciples, all they want to do is sit down with Jesus and each other and talk about the amazing things that have happened. And they get swamped by all these people. So Jesus does something very helpful. He says, let's go and have a break. Let's go and have a retreat. So he takes them in a boat across the lake to a deserted place so that they can have a retreat. A good principle in life is that we work from rest. We don't rest from work. And so Jesus takes his disciples so that they can rest, so that then they can go and minister. They can work again. But of course, that's not what happens, is it? Because the crowd see Jesus and they see the disciples, and these people are all heroes. So what do they do? They leg it round the lake to the so-called deserted place, so that when Jesus and the disciples arrive, hey, there's a big crowd here. Can you imagine being one of those disciples? How many of you as parents have the naughty step at home? Yeah. Sam's mum just put her hand up. Always concerning. You know the rules of the naughty step if you don't have it. Basically, the child has to, if the child's been particularly naughty, you have to give them a warning first. But then after that, they sit on the naughty step for a minute for every year in their age. Is that right? So go on. Not a year. Yeah, a year for every minute in their age. Yeah, that would be nice. So a minute for every year in their age. I'm 34. I would so love some days to sit on the naughty step. I would love it. Just leave me in peace. Just don't talk to me. I just want some quiet. But that's a bit of how the disciples were feeling. They just want a bit of time off. And suddenly they're facing this crowd of people. I bet, to be honest, Jesus felt a bit of that too. I just need a rest. But what does he do? He has compassion on them. He has compassion on the crowds because they were like sheep who needed a shepherd. They just needed somebody to guide them. They just needed somebody to lead them in spiritual things. At the end of the day, the disciples, this is verses 35 to 36, the disciples say to Jesus that the people should be dismissed. They should go home to eat. There's no indication here that the disciples are thinking, come on, send them away. We still want our retreat. It seems to be a fairly honest thing to think. These people need feeding. They don't have any food. They've come here on a whim, as it were. Send them home to go and get something to eat. You feed them, says Jesus. You feed them. And the disciples immediately go into practical mode. Now, there'll be people in here who are just like this. You know, you're the kind of people who make things happen. Yeah, I'm one of the kind of people who quite often dreams things up and comes up with nice ideas and things to do and desperately relies upon the practical people who can make those things happen or can say, no, you're an idiot. One of the two. We need those practical people. And the disciples here click into practical mode. We haven't got enough money. We can't possibly feed all of these people. Those same disciples who've just been teaching and performing miracles, which isn't necessarily practical, is it? Those same disciples click into this practical mode. There, for them, preaching and miracle are gone hand in hand. God showed the power that he had, and the disciples taught about God. The two things went hand in hand. You feed them, says Jesus. Sadly, they lack the faith to put into practice again what they've already been doing. And so from verse 38 onwards, the passage turns from kind of being about discipleship to actually being all about Jesus. Jesus makes the point. He's taught the crowds, and now he's going to give them the sign. He's going to perform the miracle himself. The five loaves, the two fish, about the size of a packed lunch of two adults and a boy. Roughly two loaves. We're not talking kind of great big Hovis loaves here. We're talking two smaller loaves. Two loaves each for a man. One loaf for a boy. And then they split the fish between them. Maybe possibly putting it on their bread. Who knows? But it's a packed lunch for 2.5 people. Jesus takes it. And he breaks it. And he passes it around the crowd. And there's 12 basketfuls left over. And can you imagine the disciples go around and I've got my basket and it's full. And Peter's got his basket and that's full. And James has got his basket and that's full. And they're all stood there with a basket of bread and some fish in it. And it's as if Jesus is saying, you could have done that. There's your basket. Look at what you could have done. Not by your own power, but by what God could do through you. God feeds the multitudes, the 5,000, just in the same way that he did in the time of Moses with that manna in the desert. He fed the people. Wow. But you could have done that, says Jesus. Okay, I'm nearly done. Just three things. What is it then that we can learn? Firstly, I think Jesus takes us on a journey of faith. You know, he didn't ask the disciples to feed the multitudes, the 5,000, before he'd sent them and seen and they'd experienced doing other ministry. He takes them on bit by bit. He builds our faith. He takes us on a journey of faith. And baptism is a great point in our journey of faith. But like we said before, it doesn't end at that point. Jesus continues to work in us to develop our faith, to make us more like him, to trust him more. Where are you on that journey? Maybe you don't feel that you've actually started that journey of faith with Jesus. Well, get on the journey and start it today. Secondly, Jesus uses his disciples for his plans and his purposes, and he uses his people today. We're all called by him to serve him. We are followers, disciples, but we're also apostles. We are sent out. Our faith isn't just something that ends at our fingertips. It's something that we should be living. And thirdly, ministry and faith actually go hand in hand. Whatever our ministries are, if we try to do them ourselves, then we'll fail. But if we do them through God and through his calling and constantly return to him, then he will do great things through us. It's an amazing thing, isn't it, to be called by Jesus to serve him. Why on earth he would pick people like us, I have no idea. I can see all your faces and I'm thinking he must be having a laugh. But he chooses to use us. And that's his prerogative. So let's do it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you know each and every one of us from the inside out. Thank you that you know every part of our lives. Lord, for each of us, wherever we are on that journey of faith, Lord, we pray that you would take us on, that you would move us further along, that you would build our faith, that you would draw us closer to yourself, that you would make us more like yourself. And Lord, please, for each of us, give us that faith and that courage to step out boldly and to serve you in the ways that you call us to do that. Lord, be with each of us, we pray, this day and always. Amen.